again?
What do you want me to do?
Hit me.
You're a 15-year-old girl. What the hell?
Act like a bitch, get slapped like a bitch.
Oh, God.
Oh, take your tampon out, Dave.
All I got to say for this is, motherfucker.
Motherfucker. Well, today...
That's all I'm going to say. Motherfucker.
Exactly. And since every Christian and mother is so sensitive about the title of this movie, today we're talking about Kick... 2.
Motherfucker.
Wait, say that again.
I'm going to say whatever.
Say it again. What are we saying today?
So that's all I'm going to say today because, you know, I don't understand the controversy behind this film, whatever. All the violent films that come out and mothers want to get their pants up their ass about this one?
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, they've been talking it up for a while. It's like, oh, there's a rape scene they had to cut out. There's so much violence and so much blood. It's like, this is a fucking cartoon.
You know, even the reviews I heard, because I was reading a lot of reviews today or whatever, and they were just like, oh, a girl says cunt in it. And I was just like, wow, they're really harping on that cunt word with this girl.
Yeah, really. It's like, even she said, like, get over it.
Like, I mean, if you go to the fucking UK, they say that shit on a daily basis.
Exactly. Like, she's like, oh my God, you guys are getting your panties in a bunch about that. You all are going to shit bricks when you see Carrie.
I recently had to review a movie called Punisher Warzone. A dude literally blows another dude's head off his goddamn. That was a lot more violent than this shit. So, I mean, come on now.
You know what I would... Speaking of Punisher Warzone, you know what I wish I would have seen in this movie? Just a straight up punch to the face, like face caves in. Like in that movie.
That was the only thing that was missing, because, damn, this is ridiculously fun.
It is ridiculously fun. It's not good in any, like, in terms of story and plot elements. It's all over the goddamn place, but it is entertaining.
I think the story is decent. It's just all over the place. It's not directed well.
Yeah, tonally, it's all over the place. You know, in Matthew Vaughn's hands, this would have been great. But in, who's the director on this? I don't have it up right now.
I think it was Jeff Wadlow?
Yes, Jeff Wadlow, who actually made a movie I famously hate amongst my friends.
I was going to say, I think he's made a lot of movies that's been shit, but what's his name picked him or whatever. I know he made...
Yeah, Matt Vaughn picked him.
Yeah, I know you made that MMA movie,
Never Back Down, which I fucking despise that movie.
with the great Jamon Hansu and it going, 7 years. 7 years, I've not seen my family.
Yeah, exactly. I am the mystical Negro that's going to help you beat this douchebag.
This must be stereotype year because this is another film where they stereotype people, and this time I kind of laughed. I don't know why.
You know what? We'll talk about that in a little bit. Why don't we give a little bit of a simple plot synopsis here, first of all, P1?
So, I don't know how many years has passed by, but basically this follows the graphic novel by Mark Millar, which follows page by page, honestly, in this movie. I mean, they even took like a miniseries of Hit Girl that came out after the first movie or whatever and added here with the whole... teen drama stuff that was going on.
Yeah, that's what I heard, is that this kind of took elements from the actual Kick-Ass 2 novel, which I did manage to read before I went to go see this, even though we talked about it the other night. I managed to actually go pick up a copy down here in Orlando. I did not read the Hit Girl miniseries, and that's kind of what I wanted to ask you before we start really getting into this about it. Have you read that miniseries, and was it faithful to this?
I love that miniseries, and yeah, actually, because if you want to get down to the direction, because it's not convoluted, it's just all over the place and messy. It's not handled well. I think in Matthew Vaughn's hand it would have been better. But I'd be lying if I say I was bored at the film, because I wasn't. But it does follow that series pretty well, and I thought that was some of the best directed scenes in the film.
I agree. That's, you know, all the scenes with Hit Girl and what she's having to go through, because the basis of the Hit Girl story, you know, now that we got the simple plot out of the way, the basis of the Hit Girl story is pretty much her trying, you know, to adapt to a normal life, because... she never really has had to before.
Yeah, so and, like, in the first movie, we followed Hit Girl. In this one, we're actually following, her name is Mindy in the film. We're actually following a little bit more of Mindy, knowing that person.
Yeah, exactly, and her life's not going so well right now. You know, she has to adapt to normal life, she has to deal with bitchy girls, her black dad's not doing shit to help.
I was like, okay, damn, they changed a lot of people from the first film in there. I was like, was that Morris Chestnut in the first film? I was like, I know goddamn well that wasn't.
I think it was.
No, it wasn't. It was some other guy. I forgot what his name was. It's going to eat me up, whatever. But it was a lighter black guy.
To the internet!
When I saw Morris Chestnut, I was like, he's getting a lot of work lately.
Omari Hardwick was the guy in the first film.
That's that guy. Omari Hardwick. Yeah, that's that guy, whatever.
And this film, you're right, it's Morris Chestnut.
Yeah, so and of course, Nicolas Cage died in the first one, so he gets replaced with Jim Carrey.
Yep, that is true. I forgot about that.
I gotta say, well, to carry on with this here, basically, Red Mist, he's plotting revenge, whatever, after he kills his mother, which was funny. I ain't gonna lie, that shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
So she gets in the, she's about to do, like, self tanning or whatever, and little machine she got at home, whatever, and he starts kicking it, it's like, you fucking threw up my Red Mist costume or whatever. And then he starts kicking it and that shit breaks down and all you see is a hand flop out of it and he's like, mommy!
Yeah, no. Can I say something right now?
Yeah.
Okay, with Christopher Mintz, please, as the motherfucker, god damn, he had me laughing every scene he was in.
I mean, because, you know what, okay, first of all, I think reason I'm going to go ahead and say this. I can forgive a lot of shit in this film for the simple fact I went in here knowing this is going to be the stupidest, most retardest thing ever. Like, I'm not going to take anything serious in here or whatever. I was like, and when I saw him dressed in that outfit and calling and going around, he had the same look in his eye that, once again, Punisher Warzone was Jigsaw. Looked at his henchman and said, call me Jigsaw or whatever. He had the same look in his eye when he said, call me the motherfucker. And then he just paused and everybody looked at him and was like, I'm not calling you that, dude. Come on now.
Well, most of the humor with the motherfucker works in one simple aspect, and I never thought I'd say this, but it's John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
John Leguizamo, I don't know who, maybe this was a one smart thing that the director did in this movie. I think he went up to him and said, okay, you're going to play the straight man. I know you've never done that before, but just go with me on this.
Yeah, I really liked him in the movie too. I was like, I hope I see more of him in it. I think it's probably one of my biggest flaw, but not so much for the simple fact that there's a lot of characters in the film, but the good characters in here you want to see on screen, they don't get that much screen time.
No, they don't. It's a classic case of when you have a big cast, you know, some don't get as much screen time as the others. You know, the guy who plays Kick-Ass, he really, I don't want to say he's uninteresting, but what he was given, the material wasn't that good.
And I gotta say, even this compared to the books, which does follow pretty well, whatever, I don't think it was so much of what he's given. I just think that the characters around him are much more interesting.
Exactly, and that's kind of the same thing in the book, where, you know, you have him where it's like, oh, you're just a normal kid who wants to be a superhero. Okay, we get it, you're becoming one. Yeah, all right. And
he's not a bad, I mean, I've only seen him do three things personally or whatever, but I don't think he's a bad actor, but I never got a chance to see how good he is. But it's just in these Kick-Ass movies that it's not that he's doing a bad job. I think he's doing a decent job. It's just that when he's on screen, you pretty much want him like, where's Hit Girl at?
How'd you feel about him wearing the pimp coat for that one scene?
when Hit Girl said, okay, we're going to go on our first run, or because she trains him or whatever, and I was like, how funny is that, that this little girl is his mentor? What kind of shit is that, first of all? So she tells him what's going on our first run after she gets done training him. She puts him in, like, gold jewelry, a pimp coat. He might as well have been like, yo, baby, that's a badass coat.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this thing where, like, I saw it and I didn't want to laugh because I was like, you know, when I went to the screener, I'm in Orlando, so I had an eclectic group for a screener, to say the least. And I took my little brother with me, and we both, when he showed up in the pimp coat, and he's just like, all right, I got this. My little brother and I, like, didn't want to laugh because we were surrounded by, admittedly, black people. And we were like,
wow, I'm shocked a lot of black people would go see this. I didn't think they know.
We kind of were too. Like, we both had to look at each other like, are we really the only white people in here? Like, well, shit.
Well, now that I think about it, it's only been probably the white parents that have been saying, you should not take your kids to see this.
Oh yeah, good point. They're the ones that, like, anytime the thing comes on, they want to go, it's Kick. So
yeah, I mean, honestly, the violence in this film, I thought in the first one was a little bit more gruesome than it was in this one. I don't think it was that bad in this one. I mean,
I think this one was more cartoonish.
Yeah, it was more cartoonish and a little bit tamed, and it looked like they knew that they was just like for stupid laughs and fun or whatever. But in the first one, I thought it went a little more serious in the violence, especially because Hit Girl's around Big Daddy more, so, and Big Daddy is more of a serious character. But with Hit Girl in this one, whatever, by herself, they, and she's training this dweeb or whatever, I don't know, I just thought it was a little bit more cartoonish and for fun and whatever. And I don't know, seeing Aaron Johnson or whatever his goddamn name is, Kick-Ass, seeing him not play like the weakling background type fighting or waiting to Hit Girl save him, I kind of like seeing him being able to defend himself in this film.
Yeah, it gives me hope for Quicksilver, I'll say that.
Yeah, exactly. But I think he can pull it off.
Yeah, I will also say this. Most of the training scenes are actually pretty funny as well, because I think him and Chloe Grace Moretz actually have really good chemistry together in terms of what their characters are. I mean, that scene where she pulls out the Magnum, I was just like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, I like the comic book style that the film has, too, because, like, it opens up with that scene, and then it has, like, in subtext at the bottom, meanwhile, far away.
Yeah, exactly. I think this film knows what it is. It knows what it was trying to do. And for the most part, it succeeds. I think its main problem is that it's trying too many things and it's trying to balance too many characters. And this director just doesn't know how to handle it. I think that's the biggest problem of this movie.
And the flaw would come from that book then, I guess, because once again, they follow page for page. So maybe
it could be. It could come right from that book.
They should have probably took the directorial choice, or maybe it was Mark Millar's choice of saying, hey, I want the book page for page, whatever, but they probably should have took a creative choice and said, we got to take some of this stuff out now, because, one thing even though it does handle a lot of things, I thought it did give enough screen time, where in, like, the first one, it kind of just balanced off to being the Hit Girl movie, even though this one kind of was, too, but I thought it gave enough screen time to both sides' views, and we saw different plot points on their both sides, whatever, which I kind of enjoyed in some parts.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. You know, and I think
the motherfucker put some anal beads up his ass too.
No, the one that got me is, like, I was looking over at my brother, and whenever Hit Girl has her little striptease scene in front of the audience, I just looked at him and was like, I know I should not be finding this attractive right now. I'm gonna leave before I start feeling like a pedophile. He's like, hey, I'm 14. I can enjoy this shit.
I was about to say, you probably can fucking enjoy a little bastard, man. I hated every kid in this theater because I was like, this girl she's going to be fucking hot when she gets on.
She's going to be hot and she's going to be a good actor. She's going to be everything Jennifer Aniston wants to be.
First of all, I'm going to tell you right now, I hate Aaron Johnson because he got to kiss her at the end. I was looking at that like.
Did that seem forced to you?
It kind of did in the same way. Like, I kind of felt like as if it wasn't taken like, hey, let's have a romantic relationship. She just wanted to do it, that's how to do it, but it did feel forced or whatever, and just, like a lot of the endings in Kick-Ass, even in the books or whatever, they always feel forced, which is why I'm not really that fan of an ending and the endings in them or whatever, but they're whatever. I don't mark them off as being the most terrible thing ever.
Okay,
but
I have one question to ask you, because I think my brother and I missed this. Did they mention his girlfriend from the last movie at all in this?
Yeah, okay, I want to talk about that too, because they did bring her up. Okay, so...
Okay, I missed it.
When Hit Girl quits, when she can no longer be a Hit Girl anymore or whatever, because they're the Morris Chestnut character or whatever, there's a scene where him and Dave Lewinsky, played by Aaron Johnson, of course, they're arguing in a hallway and people are circling around them, and his girlfriend come out and she slaps the shit out of Dave. She's like, "You just but thanks for breaking up with a freshman or whatever." She's like, and then that's it of her.
Oh,
which I don't like at the same time.
I miss that shit.
Yeah, which I like and don't like at the same time. Because one thing, I'm getting sick and tired of seeing, like, a romantic interest in films or whatever. I mean, sometimes, like, a film doesn't even need it. I think I started saying that in my Dead Man Down review. I was like, that movie is decent had they just took that woman out and just been a spy thriller film, whatever. I don't know, like an assassin film, whatever. And when they crowbarred her, and I was just like, okay, there was no need for a love interest. Which I like in this film, that they took her out. That way we don't have to worry so much about some kind of love interest. But at the same time, she was such a main character in the first one, and to have that little scene where she knows that he's Kick-Ass, and all she does is get mad, saying, "You broke up with a 14," and he's just looking at her like, it's a superhero thing. I mean, we wasn't, are you fucking crazy or whatever? I thought that was pretty stupid, to be honest.
Yeah, no, this sounds so bad, but I really wish they would have done what they did in the comics. Because, you know, if you're going to go cartoonish and all out, why not?
Might as well. I mean, one other complaint I might have is I don't think it really stood out as a superhero film too much, whatever, as far as, like, some of the lighting effects or the like, it didn't have a certain kind of tone to stick with or the colorful background effects. It didn't have something to capture my eye or whatever, but...
Yeah, the fight scenes, they're well filmed, I'll give them that. But I'm more on the side of, you know, where the first Kick-Ass was actually really smart and how satirical it was with superhero movies.
It was simple, too.
Yeah, this one just kind of falls into the tropes of them. And not only that, but the tropes of, like, when you have a big superhero cast. Like, you know, I know you've talked about how much you hated it. How much you don't like the X-Men movies. And yeah. That, you know, with the movie like this, I could see your complaints here, where, you know, you have characters like Jim Carrey, Donald Faison, who are all really good in the movie. It's just they don't get enough time.
Yeah, and you know what? Compared to the X-Men films, I actually like all these characters that they introduced in here. Like, all of them that... Even, I'm sorry, but when the motherfucker was talking to John Leguizamo... And he's like, get my superhero team, my supervillain team together, right, whatever. And he's like, okay, I got this chick. And he just started naming off. And then he was just like, enough with the racial names, man. He's like, just shut up and write down. This dude's like, got this chick from Russia. Call her the Mother Russia. You can't have a Mother Russian motherfucker on a team. Just shut the fuck up and put her in Mother Russia.
Yeah, no. The scene where he makes his team, that's hilarious. Like, yeah, all of that is funny. Hilarious. And
the names he came up with, I was just like, what the fuck?
Like, I was in there like, wow, this is getting on Ooga Booga levels.
No, but Mother Russia, that was a badass bitch, all right?
Yeah, no, I will give them this. Whoever cast it, who played her?
I honestly don't know, but that bitch was scary, dude.
Who played her? I gotta look that up. Olga Kirkulina?
I would assume she is Russian then, huh?
Oh, yeah, she's definitely Russian, but hey... Props to the casting director for that one.
Yeah, because that actually, all the movies I've seen, that was the scariest shit I've seen in a movie this year.
I agree with you on that one.
Scared the fuck out of me, dude. Like, at the ending scene, where Hit Girl is like, after she mows down some people, and then she's just staring at the Mother Russia, I'm like, don't fuck with her, Hit Girl. Don't.
No, oh, by the way, I will say also, that's a pretty cool scene. I like how they set that up.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. But my favorite part of Mother Russia is, they pay you $50,000, and then these cops come, and she murders every fucking cop.
She lit them up.
Like, in the most creative ways, too. Like,
yeah. And
she,
you know,
takes a cop car door off and throws it at another cop, and his head gets split open.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you can tell throughout this, there's little sprinkled moments where there's just genius. There's little sprinkled moments throughout that are great. Honestly, a lot of them have to do with Jim Carrey's character, Colonel Stars and Stripes, because he's fantastic in this, because I never thought I'd have a director that toned down Jim Carrey.
You know what? I don't understand what Jim Carrey... Well, before I get into that, though, the one other thing about the Mother Russia 2, she sticks a fucking lawnmower on the back of a cop car and ram it into another car. When she did that, I looked at that and was like, what the fuck is she about to do with it? And when that lawnmower flew into that other cop car and started shredding those two guys, I was like... And then all you hear is the black MMA fighter in the background. He's like, damn, she worth that $50,000.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, that was a badass bitch. But Jim Carrey, yeah, I've never seen Jim. I didn't even recognize who the fuck he was. His voice was different. He looked different. I've never seen Jim Carrey do something as different as this. I don't understand why he didn't want to promote the film because of the violence. Because, if anything, he was the non-violent one in the film.
Yeah, I mean, there's really only two violent scenes with him, and one involves a dog that's actually kind of funny, but...
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, there's a dog on your balls now.
It's just like, I know I shouldn't be laughing at this because it's so stupid, but why am I laughing?
That's exactly what I said. I said, why am I... Okay, you know, that's in the trailer. That's funny as shit. I don't know why. Because that dude that he's gnawing on his balls, whatever.
I think it's one of those things where at least for me, it was like, wow, I never thought I'd see this in a movie. Wait, now I have.
I've seen that in a movie. they always had that, but they never showed. And this dog was gripping hard on his ball. And that dude that he was fighting on, he was screaming hard. He was hot.
Well, I love whenever he's explaining like what the dog does, and when he bites the hot dog, all the guys in the group just grab their nuts instinctively.
And you know, one other thing they did in the movie, because, God, there's a lot of things I like in the film, too, even though with the... I think the more technical aspect of it is what's bad of the film, then I have more problems with the inside of the film. But another thing I really liked about the film as well is the fact that they killed his father.
You know what? I actually agree with you on that. That was kind of something where I was like, wow, you know, it. I liked it and I didn't like it at the same time, because it's like, wow, that was actually pretty ballsy to do. I commend them to do this. But I did think it was a little mishandled, because it's like,
yeah,
right after he dies, they go right back into the comedy. It's like, I don't know if that's a good decision.
They don't have a right tone in the film.
Right. It's this thing that I was saying, you know, with characters, sorry about that, and tone, this movie's all over the map, and it hurts it more than it helps it. And I completely agree with you in saying, you know, any other director and writer's hands, because the guy who directed it did write it, I'm looking at right now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so he did both. I think in a better writer and director's hands, this movie goes much better.
Something that handled darkness and comedy well, whatever, and hidden even by scene by scene was Iron Man 3 this year.
Right. I mean, you get this was something like right up James Gunn's alley.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, James Gunn would be perfect on this shit or whatever.
Gunn would have taken this and fucking ran with it. So, I think it's one of those things where, you know, it has little moments of just a goodness and greatness sprinkled out through it, thanks to mainly two side characters. Your main character, though, really doesn't flesh himself out as much as he should. An inconsistent tone. It ultimately, for me, comes down to a high stream it, just because that inconsistency of the tone really does start to wear on you after a while. I really did feel like at moments where this movie was like a cock tease. It's like, oh, you like this character? You like him? Like, well, he's gone. And it's like, oh.
I'm probably going to shock everybody here, but Aaron Johnson, only good thing he was there for was to bring Hit Girl back in, because goddamn it, this is Hit. I should have just named this shit Hit Girl 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Well, they should have just named it Hit Girl. Honestly, from what everyone's been telling me, and from what you've told me at the beginning of this, I think they should have done the Hit Girl miniseries and just made that a spinoff movie.
Well, you never know. Maybe if this one does
well, it could happen, that's true, and I'm all for that, because Chloe Grace Moretz, wow, you were getting better with every movie.
Yeah, because at the end of this film, she pretty much said, like, I had to leave town or whatever. And I was like, she's like, you can't murder down six people or whatever and then expect to just go back home and go back to high school or whatever. She's like, I have to leave town. And they see the cops, like, in her house and everything. And I was like, okay, I see where the next film can be at now, whatever. We could focus on
her on the run. Girl
here now. Get that spinoff movie that people have been asking for. And I think if the writer or whoever's going to be directing, I don't know if he's returning or whatever, if they're smart enough, they will take that chance, because everybody knows Hit Girl is the star in this franchise.
Yeah, I agree. What would you give it?
One other thing about the fight scene, I was laughing. Oh, another thing about the fight scene between Hit Girl and Mother Russia, when she got the adrenaline and she started stabbing her with all those...
That was awesome.
That was fucking badass.
That, you know what that was? That was the Modern Warfare KM in the first film.
Yes! Oh my god. That looks like the like, when every time she stabbed him, there was, like, a strobe light, like, from fucking Tron Legacy off the back of the
knife. Yeah, like, no, I completely agree with you. It's like I said, there's little sprinkled moments of greatness, but just the overall package, it just all doesn't fit.
It looked fucking fantastic. I enjoyed that. The best part of that whole battle scene to me was, like, nobody in here looked like they really had any superhero costume on. They looked like some cheesy-ass garage-made cartoons or whatever. And
it looked like a ghetto superhero fight.
Yeah, it kind of brought back to what the first film was. Just regular-ass people being fucking cartoon superheroes, to be honest. And nobody's no real hero here. And they even bring back the, what's that guy's name, though? The black guy from Scrubs?
Oh, Donald Faison. I love him.
Donald Faison, yeah. Well, because you see him in the mask first, and I was just like, that guy looks familiar. I don't remember his name, but I know where he's from or whatever. And that guy was good in the film as well. It's been a while since I've seen him do something good. And in that fight scene... Also, it was just funny as shit to me or whatever.
You can tell he was having fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the motherfucker is pretty much wearing his mom's
S&M suit. Clothes and shit. He was wearing his mom's S&M suit. I'm sorry.
He was. Don't say so. Did you see him from the long shot where he was walking? He was in boots and shit. He was a whore.
it's not a sight I want to relive. Thank you. I was trying to avoid that subject. Because in that subject, you know what that subject is in my head right now? It is just, you know, anytime you say it, it's like, he was in an S&M suit, boots and all. I'm just like, well, here's what it's doing in my mind.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. You know, this was a very definition of dumb fun for me.
I completely agree.
I had a lot of fun watching the movie. There was some problems in here, but I felt with every problem, there was something to like in that problem as well. I'm going to give it a low C.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I want to take a bunch of friends and go see it again and just laugh at
it. And that's the thing. Even though I said it's a high stream it, dude, you take this with a bunch of friends. I think I honestly gave it a high C because I only went with one person. If I would have went with a bunch of buddies, I probably would have given it a low rent it. But, I mean.
I want to say we saw this at a, what was it, Wednesday at 10 o'clock, I believe. Crowded theater. It was a public screen, too. And people was just in there laughing. That just McLovin, Red Mist, whatever you want to call him, whatever. That was mainly the one getting all the laughs from people, whatever. Because he was just doing the most outlandish dumb shit.
I can see
like,
it.
Hey, I'm not. You want me to kill the dog, dude? I'm not a monster now. I'm not. I'm a villain. I'm not killing the dog.
Yeah, exactly. So
that dog.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, even though this movie is inconsistent and it does, you know, it does have those like, oh god, just get to something moments where, you know, the overall package, if you go to see it with a bunch of friends, hell, you're going to have so much fun with this. This is one of those movies where I tell people, look, don't listen to any critic on this. Even don't listen to me on this because, you know.
This is something you can take on your own.
Exactly. If you feel like you're going to like this movie, you probably will. If you don't feel like you're going to like this movie, then stay the hell away. It's what I call the jackass rule.
And you really can tell from the trailer whether you're going to like this or not. It's really one of those or whatever. And it's one of those films, too, where I give it a low seat as a matinee or whatever. You either see it at as a matinee or you see it at fucking midnight or whatever with a bunch of friends.
Yeah, or at home for midnight movie madness.
Yeah, or in my case, morning movie madness.
Exactly. All right. Well, I don't know. I don't really got anything else to say.
Except for ass kicker.
Yeah. Come on, give Hit Girl that sequel. Night, everyone.
Night. The ass kicker.
Game on.
Who the hell are you?
We're the good guys.
You're the dead guys.
Franz,
Vida. Ow! Jesus!
Yeah, there's a dog on your balls.